Hello, and welcome to the JSGC Policy Podcast. I'm Susan Elder, and today's podcast is the second in an interview with Vince DeLiberato from Legislative Reference Bureau. In this episode, Vince discusses being a nonpartisan legislative service agency and how they maintain their neutrality when they're navigating politically charged topics. Vince is also going to set us straight on who the clients of the Legislative Reference Bureau are.
Vince, you had mentioned new attorneys not working with clients. So the word client, you're referring to the members of the legislature. I presume that the House and the Senate are the clients. And I guess it might be tricky sometimes in dealing with that client base. So being that LRB is bipartisan or nonpartisan agency, how do you draft when you have clients who have conflicting positions? And how do you maintain your neutrality as you're drafting with hearing different voices?
Right. That's one of the biggest challenges, but we try and establish that with confidentiality is kind of the critical thing. And there are situations where, in that sense, you have to make sure that you don't reveal anything. Now, we have a statute that prohibits all Bureau employees from breaching any confidentiality. The attorneys, of course, are bound by the statute and by the rules of professional responsibility. And then we also have our personnel rules that apply to everybody. So this is the most serious thing that we have. Typically, the bills themselves do not necessarily create a conflict. If you're trying to say, you know, in the opposing positions, we want to raise the minimum wage or we want to eliminate a minimum wage, obviously there's a major conflict there. But an attorney in our office can draft both bills. That's not a problem. We just maintain a wall of separation and do not discuss it with any of the people on the other side. Then as we get into the amendatory process, it's a little different. Again, we can still draft any amendment that you want to a bill, maintaining that wall of separation. Sometimes the members will say, you know, what do you think about this position or that position? At that point, our attorneys will give legal advice and we'll say, look, what we're saying to you is not what we'd say to somebody else, and we will not reveal it to anybody unless you're the only one that can reveal that. So we try and maintain the separation there as much as possible. And there are times when you'll see, we don't as much anymore as we used to, but you'd have the members would really do a lot more debating and, you know, on the floor that would get into the substance of it. And we might then say, look, I've already advised the proponent of this bill about it. If you have a philosophy that's different and you need advice on how to attack that underlying philosophy, just get another attorney to do that. I've done that in the past. I mean, many times it's a member will just need to know roughly a cost of something and direct the member or the member's staff to be able to identify that cost. But as you know, some of the philosophical positions require a lot more detail. We're seeing that now with the inflation. Well, is the solution to, on the federal level, to raise the interest rate or to take other action? On the state level, we're seeing things. Should we let the school districts decide on masking or should the Secretary of Education decide? And in that regard, what you said, Glenn, if I could just take off of that a little, it's not just the members of the assembly that are our clients, also the executive agencies. We also serve them. We're permitted to draft legislation and amendments for them. Many times a conflict between the executive and legislative branches. And as the publisher of the bulletin, the administrative agencies are our clients. And right now, you may know, we're involved in a lawsuit where the Department of Environmental Protection is actually suing the Reference Bureau to publish a document, which the House and Senate have blocked by a resolution. And that's going to be resolved in Commonwealth Court and I guess ultimately in the Supreme Court.
That leads us to our next question. When you guys get busy, I imagine a lot of bills will come in all at once that you'll have to work on. How do you prioritize them when you're drafting them?
Well, that's why we have enough attorneys so that we try and get everything done. We normally can get any bill out in 3 days unless, you know, it's extensive and it's going to require a couple of weeks. We never require more than 2 weeks. So when the bills come in, we will get them processed immediately and we'll just have the attorneys working on them. We just constantly assign so we don't have to set up a priority system in that fashion. With the amendments, there is a priority system, and that has to be that the committee amendments have to be done before the committee meeting, and they would take precedence over the floor amendments in the House, which have to be done the next day. We make sure we finish them every day, but I mean, that's the only prioritization that we have to do. It's very rare that we have missed any deadlines. The occasional problem in the House, you're familiar with the Rule 21, where people have to file, you know, their amendments at 1 p.m. the day before second consideration. Sometimes there's a large volume with something like that, and we may need extra time. But typically, the Bureau never closes, as we say, so we'll work through the night to get the material done. But sometimes even doing that, you won't finish everything by 11 o'clock the next day. And, you know, we'll just coordinate and say, all right, you're going to have to postpone some of these amendments. We're still working. There are times when we've got 200-300 amendments that have to be done between 1 p.m. on Tuesday and have to be in by 10 a.m. The next morning. Occasionally that doesn't happen, but it's rare that we don't get them done by the end of the session day.
Do you get pressure from legislators or I guess agencies to get a job done in a hurry? Or is it just, you know, we're working as hard and as fast as we can and we'll get done when we get done?
Yeah, we normally, sometimes there'll be, you know, phone calls like, you know, what's the holdup and things like that. But you just have to explain to people that nobody's goofing off, but a lot of research is necessary on something or other. You know, we simply can do that. There was at some time a different pressure like that. But I think that has subsided in the years where we, you know, people understand that if you really want a piece of legislation done, there's a little more to it than just writing something on a piece of paper. I would say, you know, there's always time pressure. I think that our clients have been reasonable over the years, and that has improved, I think.
Along those lines, how complete is a bill when it arrives at your doorstep, or how finalized is legislation that people are sending?
That's a great question. I mean, it can be anything from a concept to a fully detailed piece of legislation that we only have to check. Now, many times a person will come up with an idea. We want to raise or lower the sales and use tax, and we want to lower or raise the income tax. You've seen a lot of those over the years. How much do you want to raise it? Well, we don't know. Okay, well, we can actually give a bill that'll bracket out 6% and put in blank percent. And we can have the bill that does that, and it's a shell. We won't give a blueback, but we'll give them a preliminary document and say, okay, talk to your people, decide what you want. And then when somebody comes back with a number, we don't care what that number is. We can turn that over in like 15 minutes and give them a blueback. Once we've identified how we're going to reduce that concept to legislative language. And the one I gave is a pretty easy example. You just want to raise the rate. We know where the sales and use tax rate is. Some of these other ones would involve going into various different acts. We might have to say, notwithstanding section so-and-so of this other act or section so-and-so of this other act is repealed. Changing that concept in the legislative language takes more time. I say normally we can do it within a couple of weeks. Now that's at the concept end. The other end, when they bring the statute in, and we have some pretty refined people that really are excellent drafters and the staffs of the assembly and of the administration, they've pretty much done everything they want. They know pretty much how to do it. Those are a little easier to handle. The problem is they may have made a mistake in terms of snatch something from the database, which is not in our system. And, you know, maybe they want to change something. They didn't put the bracket in the right place or the shading. And we basically do stylizing at that point.
That does kind of lead into a question I had. So is Reference Bureau responsible for the cross-references and the researching prior legislation that'll be affected by a new bill?
We handle all the cross-referencing, and we at least try as much as possible to get every other piece of legislation that may be enacted. Of course, we have to rely on the staffs in the chamber, too. They know a little bit more about the subject matter, how the problem arose. And many times they can direct you or direct local government to do a study on something before they even do the legislation. If that material comes to us before we start, that makes it all the easier for us.
I think we have one more question we want to wrap up with. So one of the things I was surprised to learn about a few years ago is that the LRB does quite a bit more than just draft legislation. Earlier, you'd mentioned you started in the code in Bolton, and my wife Alyssa works in citations. So I was wondering if you could tell us just briefly a bit about the other departments at the LRB.
Basically, as I say, we're a law office. Legislatively, which is the main part, I guess, that we've just been talking about up to now, in a given legislative session, we prepare over 20,000 legislative requests. That's an awful lot. We, of course, classify the material. And, you know, we make sure, as I said, anything is covered to alter, supplement, or replace existing legislation. So that's the bulk of our work. However, as you know, we don't have 20,000 laws every two-year session, thank goodness. Upon enactment, our office coordinates with the Secretary of the Commonwealth and the Legislative Data Processing Center to edit and publish each new piece of legislation in hard copy. There are slip laws, the laws of Pennsylvania, or the Pennsylvania Consolidated Statutes. And in addition to the hard copy, we maintain a searchable electronic version of current and past legislation. All current legislation is on a database, and as much as possible, we work back even to have a searchable database for repealed legislation, so you can find what it looked like in 1927 or 2014. And as you pointed out, we edit and publish material, the administrative law material in the Pennsylvania Code and the Pennsylvania Bulletin. Our attorneys also render legal advice to the executive and legislative officers and employees. Now, most commonly, we'll give advice on constitutional law substantively under the federal constitution and the Pennsylvania constitution, procedurally only under the Pennsylvania constitution. We'll also give opinions on statutory construction, unusual legal problems, and unusual chamber procedures. The Bureau also annotates court decisions on constitutional law and statutory construction. You're probably familiar with our statutory construction digest that we maintain currently and publish a new version every 2 years when a new legislature comes in. Then we have a library there that responds to inquiries on statutory and regulatory materials. Not allowed to give legal advice, but we do identify the pertinent materials and we really furnish them either at minimal or no cost. That library, aside from giving this kind of information, also handles our right to know and keeps a body of legislative volumes going all the way back to the beginning of the Commonwealth. The only library I've seen that's at least a smaller, a discrete library, if you will, within an office that's like that is the one that you guys have here. And they're two of the best libraries on the Hill. Senate Library has also a good library, but we have a library that's available to everybody. Then you mentioned about our ancillary function of preparing the ceremonial documents. That office does what I consider the public relations work of the Bureau. Many times those individuals will work very hard to get the material out that we need. Now, we've had situations and those people will work overtime if necessary. They check and double check the material for citations. We've always said, you know, you can get a citation, of course, in the more serious areas, individuals are injured or killed in public service, certainly like that. There are significant accomplishments on the federal or state level that people should be rewarded for. There are athletic and artistic achievements that require recognition. So what we try and do with these is get those out as quickly as possible, double check that with the people. I'm very proud of the people that we have in that office. Your wife is one of the newer people, but we really have a very nice staff there. And, you know, and I've always said, no matter what it takes, if we have to get something to Philadelphia or to Pittsburgh late at night for a funeral, we want a citation of an individual who's fallen in public service. Unfortunately, we've been at war for a long time now, so it's always happening. We make sure that our guys get that together. On the other hand, if a team is finished in eighth place in an eight-team soccer tournament, you might have to wait until Monday morning to get your citation. We probably don't bring people in for that. So we really do a lot of that, and I think I'm proud of that work. A lot of times, individuals are criticized because it is an area that helps an incumbent. If you're an incumbent, you can get your name on a citation for something. Is that political advertising? I suppose it is. You're a challenger cannot do that. But people have been criticized for that. But I really I did not see that. The ones that I've seen, I find to be serious things. And that is a duty that you have as an incumbent to see the people in your constituency that have suffered these kinds of losses or made these kind of achievements. And I don't necessarily see that as a problem. I just feel that we're proud of the public relations work that our people do.
It's time for us to wrap up our podcast for today. Thanks so much for joining us, Vince, for these last two episodes and giving us so much of a better understanding of all the different functions within LRB.
Well, thanks very much.
If you're listening and you want to check out the first interview from Vince or one of our other podcasts, please check the links in our show notes. The music in our podcast is provided by Joseph McDade. Thanks for listening and have a nice day.